the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God. Promises to quiet me. Praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Paul, I'm glad to see you. I hope your journey was not too tiring.
Did you read my letter to the church here in Corinth?
I certainly did, and I believe the problems here are being solved. The people are anxious to see and hear you.
Well, then let us be on our way. Friends, living the life of a Christian is not easy. Christ said to the Christian, "Take up your cross and follow me." A Christian does have a cross to carry, sometimes a cross impossible to bear were it not for the power and grace of the Holy Spirit that hears our every helpless cry for grace to carry that cross. When we empty our lives of self, we are assured of victory. Still, the race must be run with a complete forgetfulness of the world and the pleasures of the world. Every thought, every energy, every moment, day and hour, must be devoted to reaching the goal through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I'm sorry, Father, but you or Mother cannot talk me out of it. I am going to become a runner in the races.
We aren't trying to talk you out of it, son. We just want you to realize the hardships, the sacrifices, and the privations you yourself must endure if you are to be a successful runner.
Oh, I'm not even thinking of the hardships, but rather the races themselves and winning. Just think, Father, multitudes will be watching. When I win, they will cheer and honor me. I will be given the emblems of victory, a laurel crown and a palm branch to carry in my right hand. My praise will be sung throughout the entire land. This city in which I live will share in the honors for having produced so great an athlete. And you, Father and Mother, will receive praise and honor and glory.
And it's worth the risk?
Oh, I'd give up everything to win the race that is held just outside of Corinth. That is the greatest of them all, and by winning it, I shall receive the highest honor and glory man can give to man.
Well, I shall not stop you, but prepare yourself well before running so you are sure to win.
Mother?
I give my consent also.
I want to become a runner.
Run, then. Out of here.
Oh, no, sir. I want to train under your direction, sir.
Well, so do lots of other young men.
But I'm unusually strong and healthy, and I'm determined to be a runner.
There are thousands just like you.
Oh, no, sir. I am going to run, and I'm going to win.
Have you got any money? I charge for training.
Well, my father is wealthy and influential. He gave his permission, so did Mother.
Well, all right. We'll see how long you last.
When should I report for training?
Right now. You'll spend your time here with me, training and training.
Mother will be worried unless I let her know.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, you let your mother know, but be back here in half an hour.
Well, it will take that long to get home.
By walking, but you're going to run. And you're going to be back here in half an hour, or you will be no pupil of mine.
Yes, sir.
Yes, dear. I'm coming. What happened? What's the matter?
Nothing. I just came to let you know that I'm going to train to be a runner.
Oh, here, lie on the couch and rest. You're tired.
No, I've got to go back right now. Goodbye. Is this all we get to eat?
What do you expect?
A feast?
You're in training for the running races, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and I'm going to win, too.
Well, you can't do both.
Both of what?
Both eat what you want and win races. The trainer says that harmful indulgence of appetite or any gratification that would tend to lower mental and physical vigor is strictly forbidden.
What's mental vigor got to do with winning races?
Nerves, my boy, nerves. To win races, muscles must be strong and supple. Every movement must be certain. Every step swift and unswerving. This requires perfect mind and body. So, this is the food you'll eat. No going out at night. Lots of rest and sleep and more, much, much more of running, running, running. Of course, winning races isn't worth all that. You'd better quit now.
Ah, but it is. Even the possibility of injury, even death, is not too great a risk for the sake of the honor awarded the winner. This is it. After the race, I'm going to be famous and renowned. My name will be on every lip.
They all say that, except me.
Don't you think you're going to win?
No. I'm going to sort of take it easy. See how the winner does it, train longer, and win another time.
I'm going to win this one, my first race.
Hey, you. Come here.
Yes, sir.
You're
yes, sir.
A good runner. One of the best I've ever trained. Now, you'll win if you do as I've taught you. Now, run as fast as you can. If you're tired, don't ease up. Near the end, you will get awfully tired. Now, still keep going, never diminishing your speed. And remember, there are judges sitting near the goal watching, so do not break any of the rules. If you do, you will not win the prize, even if you do come in first. The honor and glory of winning this race is great, so you get in there and run. Run!
I'll win.
They're calling for the runners. Now, get in there now and show what you're made of.
Yes. You've been given your places, so you know where to line up. You also know the rules. Now, if you break just one little rule, you cannot win. One of them is, do not cross that line until I say go. Get set. Ready? Go!
I'll just come in second. Oh, come on. Keep going. Faster. Faster. Oh, almost there now. Oh, keep going.
Keep going. Come on. Run. Pull the race.
Oh, I almost won. Next time I will win.
Are you all right, son?
No. I'll win next time.
Oh, son. You won't even run next time. Never again. You're bleeding at the mouth and nose. You've ruptured something. You're hurt internally. Badly. Oh, you'll never run another race. I'm sorry.
The Christian is running a race. The prize is eternal life, not to just one winner, but to all who finish the course. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Okay, everybody, it's time for our kids' Bible club meeting to begin.
Hey, Pastor Perez, I've got a question.
Sure, Sam, what's on your mind?
Well, you told us to find interesting texts in the Bible and learn something from them, right?
Right.
So, I was reading in the Psalms, and I found something that I don't understand. It's Psalm 113, verse 7. Here's what it says. God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. I gotta say, Pastor Perez, we've got a lot of poor people in our town, and they've been poor for a long time. I don't see God doing anything for them.
Good point, Sam, but God doesn't just pick someone up and plunk him or her down in a fine house with a new car and a driveway. Instead, he teaches everyone through his word how to live a healthy, honest, and hardworking life. Someone who is strong and healthy, who doesn't lie, and is willing to work hard, will more than likely find opportunities to climb out of poverty.
But what about those people who lost their jobs? Like my dad, he's healthy, honest, and willing to work, but he can't earn any money.
Yes, Sam, I heard about that. I'm so sorry. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. That's when God needs us to help.
Us?
Yeah, you and me. We can encourage those who are struggling. As a church and as a community, we can look for ways to help them, like making sure they have enough food to eat or a safe place to live, and we can let them know that we still value them as people. For some, that's as important as finding a job.
Thanks, Pastor Perez. When I get home, I'm going to tell my dad that he's a great dad, and I'm proud of him, even though he lost his job.
Sam, that will certainly raise him from the dust.
This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
When the light comes pouring in, I know he'll be heart and let the sun shine in. Open up your heart. Open up your heart. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in.
Love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. Love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. For the king is a resident still. So fly it high in the sky. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. So fly it high in the sky. Let the whole world know that the king is a resident still. Joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. Joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. For the king is a resident still. So fly it high in the sky. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. So fly it high in the sky. Let the whole world know that the king is a resident still.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 2, Saving Captain Morgan. What do you mean it's gone? Jenny gulped. We were only away for a minute. Just what I said. It's gone, Dee Dee answered, the sound of worry in her voice. Do you see it anywhere around here? Jenny shook her head. It couldn't have just walked off. It has to be here. Did you see me carry it into the other room or outside? Dee Dee asked. Maybe I did and don't remember. Jenny shook her head again. We looked at it in this room for just a few minutes, she said. It has to be here. But after 20 minutes of searching, they had to give up. The Bible just wasn't there. Jenny saw tears in Dee Dee's eyes. She put her arm around her friend. It's not your fault, Dee Dee, Jenny said. I was with you all the time and I know that we left it right here. Dee Dee sobbed. But that Bible is so important to our family. What are we going to do? Do about what? Mrs. Adams stood in the doorway. When Dee Dee saw her mother, the tears flowed freely. Dee Dee, what's happened? Dee Dee was crying so hard she couldn't speak, so Jenny tried to explain. When we came back, the Bible was gone. There, there, it's okay, Mrs. Adams said to Dee Dee, trying to get her to stop crying. I have to admit that your story is strange, but the Bible couldn't have gone very far. She stroked Dee Dee's hair as Dee Dee's tears slowed. I'm sure it will show up around here somewhere, Mrs. Adams said, as she sat down on the couch beside Dee Dee. Let's see. Has Jenny heard the story of this old house yet? Jenny shook her head. Just that it used to be a boarding house. Is there more than that? Mrs. Adams smiled. Much more. In fact, you are sitting in one of the most historical houses in Mill Valley. Chances are, however, you haven't heard much about it in your history books. Dee Dee's great-great-grandfather, Abraham Hartford, wasn't a very nice man, and he got involved in a lot of bad things. But when he became a Christian, he decided that he wanted to tell others about Jesus. But some of his enemies still tried to hurt him and his family. They even burned his house down. Finally, in 1904, he moved here and became a preacher, the first black preacher in Mill Valley. Times were hard back then, especially for a black minister. People were poor, and his church couldn't afford to pay him very much. Fortunately, he had a little money saved up from his life before. He used it to buy this boarding house. What kind of people stayed here? Jenny asked. All kinds, Mrs. Adams said. Grandpa Abraham never turned anyone away. At that time, there were a lot of hard feelings between white people and black people in town. This was considered the part of town where black people lived. But Grandpa Abraham allowed all kinds of people to live in his house. That's why the mystery of Captain Morgan happened here instead of somewhere else. Jenny and Dee Dee looked at each other. Mystery? Dee Dee asked, no longer crying. What mystery? Mrs. Adams smiled and went on. In those days, a bad man named Captain Morgan did a lot of business on the river near here. He made his own whiskey to sell, then used the money to buy guns. He sold the guns to robbers and other criminals down south. He made a lot of money, but he made a lot of enemies at the same time. One night, there was a big fight in town, and Captain Morgan got shot. He dragged himself to the boarding house here and asked Grandpa Abraham for help. Grandpa took him in, even though the town would have been very angry to have a white man in this boarding house on the black side of town. "Wow," Jenny said, "what happened then?" "Captain Morgan's enemies looked all over for him," Mrs. Adams said, "but everyone knew that Captain Morgan had always been extra mean to the black people in town. His enemies knew that he would never come to this part of town to find help." "Captain Morgan was smart," Dee Dee said. "Yes, his hiding place protected him for a while," Mrs. Adams said. "He hid at the boarding house for several weeks. Then one night, he just disappeared." "You mean he ran away?" Dee Dee asked. "Well, most people thought he ran away, but there were some reports of strange lights down by the river the night he disappeared. Some people think his enemies finally caught up with him, killed him, and threw him in the river." "Wow," Jenny said. "And he hid out in this house?" Mrs. Adams nodded. "In this very house, in the room at the end of the hall upstairs." "Wow." The girls were silent for a moment. Finally, Dee Dee spoke. "If he just disappeared one night, I wonder if he left anything here." "Well, you two can check the house out in the next few days," Mrs. Adams said. "Just let me know if you find anything." The girls jumped up and ran to the stairway. "Just keep your eyes open for that Bible," Mrs. Adams shouted after them.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 7, The Clue in the Secret Passage, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.